back, everybody, to another episode of Bub and the Bloom, episode 346. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday, everybody. We're talking batting average and home run risers and fallers across Major League Baseball. We'll talk some news and notes and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We are good. It is night one. It is night one of my wife's out of town for the next 16 days on a work trip to Iceland. So we're in it for the next 15. So you see me now. It's kind of like those before and after, you know, presidential photos that, you know, they have like good looking hair when they get into office. By the end, they just look like hell. Could be one of those situations, depending on how my 4-year-old and 6-year-old behave these next 2.5 weeks. So we'll see. Night one went well, though. Night one went well. Can't complain.
It's only one way to go from here. That's good to hear.
That's right. That's right.
It's like there's already images of Buster Posey coming out there that he's all like silver now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Already, actually, yeah. That's like, that's already, I saw that rough yesterday. Yeah. He's like already all, yeah, he's all silvery.
times are already hitting the tough times.
Yeah,
for the old Posey. He needs to borrow some of that Just for Men from down in the manager's locker.
Yeah, and, I mean, just get some in the dugout, right?
They need to just join forces and get a you know, an advertisement on the stadium wall or something, and get all the shipments they want.
He's arguing perfect. As we're recording, Dodgers.
Okay, he's saying, it's a foul ball.
Hit.
It's a foul ball.
Some potential fireworks with Bubba on the mic here.
Oh, we're good. We're hitting, but we're scoring runs tonight, so. Just wait for the bullpen to blow it. But Ryan Walker can't, so we're good in that regard. We'll see where it goes from there. But good. Glad you survived night one. I get those nights a couple times a week, but not 16 in a row. So Godspeed on that one for you.
Thank you.
Hopefully the Raj is involved.
Got to play golf yesterday. Last two Mondays got to play golf. Yesterday was my last hurrah. So
damn government jobs.
You know, gotta use that PTO while I can. So,
living the dream. I barbecued today, if you're curious. We had the fairs this week.
So on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's the fair this week. So we volunteer lunches and stuff. Oh yeah, no, we feed the masses. This is what we do. So, and then the auction's on Saturday. Yeah,
that's what we need. That's what we need a live stream of, is Bubba. Yep. Auctioning farm animals for the kids.
Yeah, that's a good time where they're just passing around buckets of beer. It starts at 8 a.m. So yeah, it's a good time.
That I might need to find a way to get a camera down there and figure something out. Patreon bonus
episode, not safe for work, I'll tell you that much. So we'll leave it at that. But yeah, things are good. We're on to week 9 of baseball. Your week 9 fab coming your way on Thursday night. But again, like I said, it's a Bloom Board show this evening. We got listener questions in the Discord. We got some listener questions showing up in the YouTube chat already. One of them is good old Papa Bloom, who he said he'd show up with this question he asked in the text, and he sure as heck is there right now. But let's get to some news and notes real quick, Ryan. Addison Barger back on the IL with right elbow inflammation. He was back for like 3 or 4 games. He threw a 100-mile-an-hour ball from right field to get a guy out, and then he woke up and couldn't really feel his arm. So MRI showed right elbow inflammation. It's the IL. Your favorite guy was called back up from AAA.
Penongo.
Yeah, Penongo. And he's actually hitting really well. So even the beat writers were surprised he was actually sent back when Barger was activated. So, or sent down originally when he was activated, I should say. So any thoughts on this one? Because there's no like timeline for Barger's injury at this point in time.
Right. And do we know it was because of this awesome throw?
We have no idea, but it just kind of coincides is what it feels like. Yeah. But it just reminds me of like when Aaron Judge last year had the forearm issue or something and he had to miss time. It's kind of what it leans into for me.
Yeah. Penongo is, the hitting second against righties, at least did on Monday, and was before, I believe, being sent down. And just looking at the Weekly Planet, the Jays, 10 of their next 12 games are against righties. So I think in 15 teamers, you can add, it might be Penongo. I apologize to the Penongo family, but hitting second in a decent lineup with a bunch of righties coming up for the Blue Jays, I think in 15 teamers, that's something you can look at for sure.
Yep, he's no Nathan Lucas, that's for sure. He's better. So enjoy the Benongo if you can going forward. Your boy, I had to text you while you're on the links because you were going to get hosed on this one.
Yeah.
Nathan Eovaldi was scratched from his start on Monday with a side tightness. They were supposed to do an MRI, technically have not heard of the results, but they say he's day-to-day and that they just have no timeline of when he'll return to the rotation, though, is the only problem. So not much you're going to do at this point in time, but just something to keep in mind. If you're rostering Eovaldi, we might get that yearly IL stint to come in your direction.
Right, which you bake into the price. It kind of unfortunate timing for Eovaldi. We talked about him, I think, last Bloom Board show, maybe two. Kind of getting out of that early slump. One earned run, 15 strikeouts, one walk over Eovaldi's last two starts, both of which were against the Yankees. So two really good starts there in a row for Eovaldi, and then this. You wait it out. Doesn't sound super serious. Like my luck, we all benched him. You know, we all benched him on Monday when I got the text from the course. Appreciate that. Bench him and probably shove this weekend or something. But not much you can do, and it doesn't sound too serious. So we'll see next week when we set lineups.
Yep. Jose Caballero went to the IL with a fractured right middle finger. He's supposed to be out the minimum amount of time. That's what Boone said, and that's what Caballero said. Again, players and teams lie, but we'll see where that goes. Ben Tidd's favorite player, Anthony Volpe, was recalled from AAA. The Yankees said that when Caballero comes back, he is the starting shortstop for the Yankees. So this might be a short stint for Volpe unless this injury is worse than they're letting on.
Yeah, and I don't want to go all bented on everyone here, but I mean, Volpe's been really bad this year in AAA, yeah. like horrible. So I'm not too, I mean, I guess he's going to play shortstop. Is that the move? It's either him or Max Schumann the last couple of days.
Schumann got the start on Tuesday, I believe, or, you know, he did for Monday for sure.
Yeah. And on the day of the call-up. So it may even still be Max Schumann. Either way, neither Volpe nor Schumann
got the start today. One was a righty, one was a lefty that pitched. So, yeah.
I don't think either one's worth, especially if it's going to be a minimum stint or close to minimum stint. I don't think either one's worth that. I mean, maybe if you want to, you know, shoot the moon on Volpe, but like we just said, he hasn't been playing. So that's also a barrier to fantasy value if you don't play. But yeah, Volpe's hitting like 220 across two levels in the majors, or in the minors, over like 76 plate appearances. WRC plus of like a 50, which is terrible. 100 is league average. So Volpe's not even touching league average in the minors right now. So you can't really expect him to just do things in the majors.
Not usually. That is the case, indeed. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it unless some tragic thing happens to Caviar's finger in the next week and things change. J.R. Ewing is one of the latest prospect call-ups that will cost a lot of money this week.
AJ.
In Fab.
AJ.
Sorry, AJ. I was thinking J.R. from Dallas, the old show for us olds out there. Papa Bloom knows what I'm talking about.
No idea AJ, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
J.R. from Dallas?
The TV show Dallas, Oil Tycoons. Like, I got an education.
Okay, I got nothing. J.R. Ewing, fictional character.
Yeah, I love how you always doubt me, and it's usually like 99% of the time correct. A.J. Ewing was called up by the New York Yankees, got to start in center field between AA and AAA this year. He was a high riser, 339 average, two homers, 17 steals. He had an RBI triple for his first career hit on Tuesday night, had a couple walks as well. Our buddy Martin Sokolsky kind of says he's got a little Antonacci in him. He's got some mechanical plate discipline in him. A nice little profile for A.J. Ewing. As Scott Burke says, who shot J.R.? That is one of the biggest cliffhangers in all of TV history right there.
I've always wondered that.
I figured as much. I'll get you. We'll talk about it in Arizona. We'll talk a lot more about AJ Ewing on Thursday night after we see another couple games from him. But he looks like the next hot commodity. Even the Gills, who has no money left, was looking in his piggy. He had a piggy bank gift trying to figure out what $5 he could spend on him.
Yeah, I wonder. We actually, DVR and I have J.R. Ewing. That is his name now on the show.
Perfect.
Of course. It's either J.R. or Patrick Ewing.
Speaking of which, I know you weren't watching the game today, but his family, electric factory. There's one guy just decked out like in an old Starters Mets jacket and Mets hat. There's another guy in an actual Patrick Ewing jersey. And they were like just going crazy.
Wait, a family member of AJ Ewing?
Yes. Yes. That's like every sick. time something went on, they showed them in the crowd. It was a walk. If he made a play, whatever. They were going nuts for every single minor, major moment of the entire game. Cool. Like that electric factory is an understatement.
Yeah. I have to see that now. So yeah, I mean, my biggest concern right now is just the levels for Ewing, right? He's only had 50 plate appearances at AAA, really only 200 plate appearances at AA over the last two seasons. So, like, this is a pretty massive jump for AJ, JR Ewing, Patrick Ewing, Mookie Blaylock, whatever we want to call this guy. However, like the plate approach, the skills, like the bat to ball, obviously the 70 stolen bases last year, everyone's going to talk about that. But like, I know we're looking at tiny samples, but even hit for some power at AAA, 12% barrel rate in 50 plate appearances, and did not strike out much at all with as many walks as K's, and didn't miss many bats. So like on paper, everything looks really good for AJ Ewing from a skills perspective and what he brings to the table. I just worry about going from basically AA, less than a half season at AA, up to the majors, and how sustainable is that? I don't know, but we'll see. What do you think of his long? I mean, playing time wise, like, do you think
Lou Bob still is doing nothing baseball wise? Like nothing. The team reported there's no timeline for his return. There's no baseball activities. Nothing. So as long as Lou Bob's out, the Mets are desperate. They're playing Ewing. And I think the runway is pretty long as he's at least a mediocre player. Because you look at that team's lineup, Luis Torrens was DHing a lot. Like, nice. They need help.
Yeah, that's not good. So
he's playing. And keep an eye on Francisco Alvarez, folks. He left Tuesday night's game with a knee injury that he suffered on a swing. So keep that in mind.
Always.
All right. Henry Bolte of the Sacramento Athletics was called up on Tuesday. He did not start, but I'm still curious where he's going to play as an outfielder. I was hoping the Law Dog would have to send to AAA. That did not happen. But Bolte was crushing it at AAA, hitting 348, 12 homers, 17 steals. He was 10 for his last 10 with 4 home runs. Pretty good, as some would say. We have to see how the playing time shakes out first, but I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers at AAA are freaking absurd. I know PCL, Sacramento, whatever. Or not Sacramento.
Vegas.
Now in Sacramento, may not be that much of a difference. But PCL obviously can inflate that stuff. But those are pretty eye-popping numbers. I have the same concerns, however, right? Like, if the Law Dog is staying and playing at least against righties, I don't see – there's just too many bodies in the outfield, unless it's a short side platoon, and we're not really interested in short side platooners. So I think Bolte has earned the opportunity. I just think there's one too many cooks in that kitchen, and Rooker's got DH pretty much sewn down. You've got Carlos C of Cortez, Lawrence Butler, and Soderstrom in the outfield. So it's tough to break into that without an injury.
I'm really thinking the Law Dog has to go. That's the only way it works, and it makes sense because I've been looking at his. I almost dropped him this past week in a league. He's hitting .179 with 3 homers and 4 steals. He's striking out 27%. Like, there's
the not skills a whole are lot bad.
That's why I say there's no signs of like being even like 7% barrels fine, 48% hard hits. But those are like the best things he brings to the table. The rest of it's just pretty darn dreadful. Swing and misses all over the place. It's not a good zone contact is not great. So the Law Dog, I could see him needing a breather in AAA.
Yeah.
All right. Last bit of news here, sticking in Sacramento. Jacob Wilson left Sunday's game after diving for a ground ball, and you could tell he could barely lift his arm. He has I'm calling it a sprained shoulder. It's a shoulder injury. It's a sublimation is what they're calling it. He's going to start doing strengthening exercises, but there's still no timeline for his return. So we'll have to see how that plays out. We're supposed to hopefully have a timeline before Sunday. Let's put it that way. And that'll help you know if you need to hold or not. For Jacob Wilson, not like he was doing a whole lot for you anyways, to be totally honest. But the replacement of Darryl Hernandez is not the answer is all I'm going to say.
No. I was going to say, maybe they can move Bolte to shortstop.
I was hoping they're the shortstop or third. Like, Gallup can play all over the place, so I'm fine with that.
Slightly tongue-in-cheek. I have no idea if Bolte can can play shortstop. Cue the Ron Washington. It's incredibly hard in Moneyball. But I agree. Daryl Hernandez is not the answer. There's just not really any power speed juice here. The guy, he puts bat on ball. He makes contact. We will say that good thing about him. But outside of that, no hard contact, not running much. Even in 15s, Daryl Hernandez is not an option for me, even if Wilson is out for a while. And it kind of sounds like it's trending that way. It did. Yes. That injury looked pretty rough.
It was bad. Like I said, he couldn't lift his arm. It was did not look good at all. So, and there's Zach Gelof with a double off the wall. That's right, baby. That's Cortez. That's your Sia Cortez. Sorry.
Cortez.
All right. That does it for the news. There's a ton of other minor things that go on each and every day, which I do my best to get you covered over on the Patreon. So go check that out, everybody. Patreon.com/BubbaBloom. But it's a Bloom Board Tuesday, Ryan. Let's get to it. One of the old classics here, which is always good to look into at this time of the year. Who's rising? Who's falling in the offensive categories? Two out of the five that we care about in Roto.
Yeah, two out of the five, but probably two of the biggest ones. And just kind of, it's a nice jumping off point to talk about some of these guys who are either really thriving or struggling, depending on if you are on the green side of this board, which are the risers, or the red side of the board, which are the, I always want to say deteriorators. I think we gotta keep that, man.
Deteriorators.
It is sorted by the biggest risers in batting average and home runs from this year to last year. So very simple. The only kind of slight thing here is to kind of compare apples to apples. We're looking at home runs per 600 plate appearances, right? Everyone's going to be down in home runs versus all of last year. So those home run numbers you see on the board and that we will cite during the show tonight are per 600 plate appearances. So I just want to see, you know, at this point in the season, given the batting average, given the home run pace, who are our biggest risers and fallers? That's pretty much it. It is minimum of 100 plate appearances, so filters out the low guys. But outside of that, it's a nice mix of really early picks. Like our top two fallers are Cal Raleigh and Shohei Ohtani. Like, God, I'm sure we'll talk about them. But nice mix of players. A lot of different ways we can take this tonight, but that's the general premise of this board. Who's rising, falling, and the surface stats, the stats that we care about in Roto. And then we will add our semi-expert analysis for context.
Semi is correct.
Very semi, the way my season's going.
All right, let's get to the risers side of things here. We'll kick it off with Jordan Walker, who was a big spring training discussion point, as he wasn't even having that great of a spring, and they had to go change his swing again. But it's worked so far. Averages up to 299 off of 215 last year. On pace for 600 plate appearances for 40 home runs compared to 9 last year. Things have slowed down a little bit of late, if we're going to be totally honest about Jordan Walker, but he's still playing very, very good. Not going to knock that. He's actually picked it up a little bit in May. The power is not all there, but the batting average is even better this month. So what's your thoughts on this Jordan Walker boom? Because I don't have any, of course, because I've never had any Jordan Walker. But yeah. This has been one heck of a resurgence for people that have been on him for like 4 years now.
Right. And this is right. It's kind of like this year's Joe Adele almost, though Adele had even longer stretch. This is only Walker's fourth season, and Walker's still only 23 years old. That continues to boggle my mind. In terms of what we've seen so far, I don't believe the batting average at all. I just don't think Jordan Walker can sniff 300. I don't think he can sniff 270, to be honest with you. Like, I know the contact looks really good. He's barreling the hell out of the ball, 19 barrels on 11 homers. So like, the power pace looks decent. So we can probably hit, you know, get mid-30s home runs, maybe push 40 is what the current pace is. But I think the batting, a lot of projections are like 240, 250 for Walker, and I think he's going right back down there. I mean, nothing really in the profile has changed in terms of the strikeout rate, the whiffs, the chase rate. Excuse me, the chase rate for Jordan Walker. This is pretty much just all a pretty big BABIP bump with admittedly harder contact, and that does help your batting average. But I think the BA is going back down to like 250, but can probably hold a mid-30s, upper-30s home run pace.
Yeah, the power, I think, is legit. And that's one thing we've always kind of said with him is the barrel rates and everything are good. He's needed to elevate the ball. He's also had the Vladdy disease for a long time, and that's gotten a lot better. Vlad still has that disease, if anybody's curious. Not quite like Tatis, but he's got it. But yeah, Walker's doing much better. Positive side of Tatis, another game at second base tonight for those keeping track at home.
So he can hit zero home runs.
At least he'll fit in more. He'll fit in more in a position you don't expect power from.
Yeah.
Liam Hicks, the talk of the town early in Fab at the catcher's position, and continues to get it done. Came into today hitting 308 after hitting 247 last year. 9 home runs last year on pace for 39. So, Ryan, I think we can both agree real quickly, 39 will not happen. And, like, if you just look at his rest of season projections, it's more of a 255, 260 average with, like, 9 homers. That's very realistic to me, to be totally honest. So, where are you at on Liam Hicks? It's been a great run, but I'm expecting – I don't know. I'm not going to say he's going to stink, but I'm expecting things to quiet down quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously in the power department, the guy has more homers than barrels. That's very tough to do. Only 8 barrels this year, 9 homers. So, agree with you on the, like, it's just wild seeing Liam Hicks and Jordan Walker on the same power pace this year. Just doesn't really make sense. I don't even know about, like, the, I don't know. It's easy to say Liam Hicks isn't going to hit 300, but, like, I mean, this could come crashing back down to like 260, 270 too. I mean, Liam Hicks is 26, so maybe there's, you know, a path to say that like this is, you know, an age 26 breakout and he's still somewhat young enough that he can grow. But even in the minors, like there's just been no hard contact. And yeah, he's put bat on ball, not quite to this degree. It's a 9% K rate. Like almost nobody holds a 9% K rate. I don't think Liam Hicks will either. So I think Liam Hicks is probably like a 260 hitter the rest of the way with not much power. I hate to crap on the dude. It's been a great run. If you've had Liam Hicks, and I have him in a few drafted holds, it's very nice, but I don't see this being sustainable.
No, it's not sustainable at all. The next couple we have here, Luke Raley, Peraza. I think we know who Luke Raley is. He's not hitting 43 home runs. He's got tons of power, but he's not hitting 43 home runs. And then Peraza, I think, could be really good if he gets to play, but that's a big if at this point in time as well. Didn't know if you had anything on those two.
Not really, especially with Raley. Like, again, this is assuming 600 plate appearances. I don't think Raley gets to 600. He's a strict platooner. Had that 7 RBI game on Friday.
Double dong. Say,
which was, yeah, pretty damn sweet. Grand slam and a 3-run homer. But I don't think much changes for Luke Raley. Nice guy to stream when the Mariners face a bunch of righties, but that doesn't change much.
Yep, agreed. All right, this is interesting now. We got Ben Rice last year at 255, entered Tuesday hitting 312, 29 home runs last year. He's on pace for 52. So he's got 13 right now. He's crushing baseballs. And the one of the many things people liked last year is like, you know, he had a 15% barrel rate and a 56% hard hit rate. Well, now he has a 21% barrel rate and almost a 60% hard hit rate. So the power is absolutely legit, Ryan, which is crazy. At least pretty close to as legit as you can be. Let's put it that way. 20% walk, 15.4% walk, 25% K. The dude's really, really good. Now, the average maybe falls a bit, but I think the power, I don't know if he's hitting 52, but I think he's getting into the 40s. That's for darn sure. Like, I think he is that good personally.
Yeah, we at HQ in the Forecaster, we tagged Rice with an upside of 275 batting average and 35 homers. That was our upside thing, and Ben Rice I think is going to even exceed that again, assuming we're past the Aaron Boone not playing Ben Rice enough like situation that needs to go away forever. Ben Rice is the man. There were a lot of very smart people on Ben Rice. He was very expensive. You were paying a price for someone who hadn't really done it before. But entering the season, the skills just made this look like a pretty easy buy. And Ben Rice has even taken that another step further in his age 27 season. So I'm buying, you know, not 52 home runs, but can Ben Rice be the number one catcher in fantasy this year? Absolutely. Especially given our guy here on the right side, Cal Raleigh, is not doing anything.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh is not doing a whole lot of anything at this point in time. But yeah, Ben Rice has been a beast. Absolute monster, worth every piece of the pie. And I wish I would have spent more money on him. Jordan Alvarez, I don't have a lot here. I think we agree if he stays healthy, he's really, really good. I like, he is a 40 home run guy. He just has never stayed healthy long enough. But right now he's healthy. He's slumping, but he's healthy.
Yeah, and this is the, I don't want to say danger of just looking at one year versus another year, but this is basically just Yordan being back to Yordan, and 2025 was a down year. And again, stay healthy. What I wonder, what's our status on DeLauder versus Yordan?
Plate appearance. I'll look up DeLauder. You look up Yordan.
I'm already on. It's just straight up plate appearances.
I have 161 DeLauder plate appearances.
Okay.
After tonight.
189 for Yordan. So we're close. And most importantly, we're probably both winning that one.
Yeah. Yes, we definitely are. No doubt there. Like the DeLauder's just hitting for an average now, which is beautiful to see. All right. This one is interesting. Adley Rutschman hit 220 last year, hitting 302 this season. 15 home runs last year. He's on pace for 29. This one's very, I guess, BABIP's higher than it's been in his entire career. So you'd imagine a little bit of regression there because his career high in batting average is 277 in 2023. His career high in homers was 20. He's got 5 right now. So like when I look at, I just feel like as catchers, as the season goes on, wear and tear takes place on catchers, and numbers are going to 29 is going to be very difficult for Rutschman's, all I'm going to say.
Here I thought you'd be all rosy on Adley. It's your guy, man.
Oh yeah, so my guy.
A bit over his head. The K rate, the plate skills are pretty much in line with what we've seen in the past. So yeah, maybe 250, 270, something like that. But hey, got to give him credit for a nice little uptick in power. I don't know. The other thing, like, he barely makes this list because Adley was hurt and only has 104 plate appearances. So this is even a smaller sample than a bunch of the other guys on this list. So I'm kind of with you. I'm not ready to crown Adley as a rebound guy quite yet. Like, the skills don't jump off the page like they do, like, a Jordan Walker power, a Liam Hicks strikeout rate, a Ben Rice power. Like, nothing jumps out at me.
Like, he's playing very well, and I am not an Adley guy, but I'll admit he's playing very well, much better than I expected this season. But I need to see an entire year of him. And Masayo's still there, even though he's banged up. He's still there. They're making it work with both of them in the lineup a lot. But
they are, yes.
Which it surprised me. And that was my biggest bugaboo in the preseason. I didn't know how they'd play that out. So they're actually both playing, which is works for both of them if you rostered them.
You get nervous, by the way.
About what?
This game. Max Muncy, bases loaded, down 4.
I was doing a podcast. I wasn't paying attention, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Just trying to throw you off your game, as I usually try and do.
Caleb Killian's warming up in the bullpen, if you're curious. I have been watching, yes, Ryan. But we are here to talk about Mickey Moniak, who's next on the Bloom Board. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind.
All right, no, we don't. That's your yeah. Revenge, just singing.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. That was just for you, Ryan, for that comment. Yeah, Mickey, 270 average last year, which I think a lot of people are still surprised to hear that number out loud for Mickey Moniak. Hitting 303 this year, 31 homers last year. Like, he's really, really good, and he was a platoon guy. Played 135 games last year and did the damage he did, Ryan. Right now he's hitting 303 with 11 home runs on the season in 33 games. So that's like a still have like a 75% playing time guy. It's crazy what he's doing. Is he overachieving? Most likely, but I think we said that all of last year, and he still finished with a phenomenal fantasy season, and he's worth a roster spot everywhere, which he is rostered everywhere, but I kind of believe, like, he's not hitting 51. He's in a platoon, like you said about Rayleigh, but 35 to 40 bombs, I'm not saying it's impossible. I think 30 is definitely in range. Like I think a repeat of last year is very possible.
Agreed. I think the only thing that could come down is the batting average. I think that will. I still just my problem with Moniak and always is it's the double platoon. Like at home, Moniak's hitting 358 with 9 homers. On the road, he's hitting 231 with 2 homers. Against lefties, it's only 24 plate appearances. So he's basically not playing against lefties. I'm not even going to list the stats. So he's not playing against lefties and he sucks on the road. So, like, it's just hard to, you know, in NFBC-type formats where you can do the kind of the midweek moves, so you can make that work. But, like, in full-week formats, maybe you just roll with it and you get the 30 home runs with a plus batting average and you don't complain. But it's like a double – like, Mickey Moniak still needs to be really, really good at home and against righties to make this work. And so far he is, and he did last year too.
if anybody's curious, there's this cool tool over at baseballhq.com. Mickey Moniak plays 100% of the games versus righties, only 28% of the time versus lefties, Ryan. So that tells you
everything. Look at you doing your learning your new metrics, learning. Yes. I'm proud, man. That's awesome.
And there's an even cooler part of the tool. If you really want to know how useless he is versus lefties, his average, you know, spot in the batting order versus lefties is ninth. So he's not even hitting near the top. So his batting averages are limited in those times he starts the games, if you kind of really do the math behind that.
Listen,
so
there you go. That's awesome.
Thought I'd throw that in there for you. It's not just Ryan that can do shameless plugs. I had to learn that this week. That's why it's fresh in my mind. And
it's a good plug. Those HQ playing metrics are freaking awesome. So
yeah, once, especially for something like that, if you really want to kind of highlight the platoons that, you know, like I did, because behind the scenes, PT tomorrow this week, we're using the tool to do it. So I do the AL West, and yep. I didn't write about the Rayleigh Canzone lefty righty platoon, but it's essentially 100% to 0%. Like, it is that hardcore of a platoon, and it shows it just right there. Boom. It doesn't take much to see. And it stands out even more. Like, we already kind of knew that, but it's right there. It's just, just want to throw that out there. Stood out in a big way. All right, Matty Olson. I don't have a whole lot to say here, more than the fact that I'm glad I got late shares, because this dude, we talked about him in draft season. It's just like Mr. Consistent. He plays like 160 plus games every year. He's going to hit you probably 30 plus home runs and yada yada. Does he get the peak season or not? I never really I was never like overly whelmed with him, but then as we started doing more auctions and you looked at prices, okay, he started fitting a lot better in that point in time. The dude's crushing it right now. He's at 296 last year at 272. He's on pace for 46 home runs. Every time I watch him, it feels like he's hitting one out of the ballpark. So, like, is a 50 season upon us again? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm buying everything.
He's done it. And actually, it's just interesting. The next two guys are both Braves as well, where Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies is the next guy. You want to talk about someone who's just wild variance from year to year. Albies is one of those as well. So, yeah, I mean, we don't have to look too far back to when Matt Olson hit 54 homers and hit 283 back in 2023. The guy is still 32 years old. Yeah, he's getting up there a little bit, but still certainly young enough for my standards. Don't take that out of context. Jeez. But seeing three Braves in a row on this list is kind of why that, you know, why they are in first place and have the best record in baseball right now. Yeah,
they're starting to hit the way we've wanted them to hit for 3 years. It's crazy how that works with no Ronald Acuña in sight. Let's talk about Albies though, real quick, because this is one of those Olson. It is who he is. We know he can do amazing things. Albies, on the other hand, a lot of people were kind of wondering, okay, we saw this guy at 33 homers in 2023, at 30 in 2021. Stolen bases continue to kind of flutter, but last year, 16 homers, 14 steals, hit 240. So that was cool. This season, though, 306 average, eight homers already. He's on pace for 27 home runs to go with that batting average that he's got clocking there. So this would be a massive jump kind of back to where he was in 2021 and 2023, the guy that we thought he would be before multiple injuries derailed things. So what are we thinking on Ozzie Albies?
I'm not buying it for the most part. So a couple things. Obviously, the big category we're not showing on the board tonight is stolen bases. Ozzie Albies has yet to steal a base this year. He's 0-3, so he's kind of running a little bit, but your Giants got out of it. Congratulations. Yep. He's running a little bit, but he's 0-3, so you don't like that. And then you don't like, and again, I'm going to go back to home runs versus barrels, that we do whole episodes on this. Your kind of general rule of thumb, and a lot can change based on how much you pull the ball, which park you're in. But in general, take your barrels divided by two, add a few more, and that's your typical homer to barrel rate. It's 64%. Ozzie Albies has 8 home runs to just 6 barrels. The raw power skills are not there for Ozzie. The BABIP's way higher than it's been the last 3 years. I think he's running pure. I don't really see, honestly, too much in the skills to think this is going to sustain for Albies. So I would be selling high if you're in a trade league and want to use that age old moniker.
Oh, I'm in full agreement with you. I'm surprised that he's doing this. I'm glad it's cool that he's doing it. Kind of a flashback of the old days, but I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, unfortunately. And that brings me to your guy, Michael Harris, who, he had the dad strength there for a while, and it seems like it's kind of quieted down a bit. It was like a week or two straight where he's just crushing, crushing, crushing. Still hitting 313 on the season. He's got those seven homers last year, 20 homers, 249. It's well documented, the 2020 guy. He's on pace for 31 jacks this year. The most he's ever had is 20 home runs. I don't know, maybe, but I think he's overachieving. Let's put it that way.
Probably is. The crazy thing is, the power skills are like by far the best of his career. He's already got 17 barrels to only 17 homers. That's
very good.
It's an elite barrel rate for Michael Harris. And surprise, I mean, only two steals. He's 2 for 2. Would like to see him run a little bit more, but I don't know, man. I think I could probably run a filter. There are not many guys who have a sub 20% K rate and a barrel percent over 15%. Like, that's a lot of contact and a lot of hard contact. Now, right, given Michael Harris's track record, is he going to hold this level of barrel rate? Probably not. Skills can regress just like stats can. But I'm like super impressed with what MH2 has done this year.
It's very impressive. It's good to see. It's been years in the making, is what I would call it. Sammy Basayo, we already talked about one catcher in Baltimore. Let's bring on the next one here. Last year, obviously shortened sample size, but we got a 165 average and a few home runs.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty bad last year.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he got 100 plate appearances last year.
They got 118 plate appearances. I don't know where you got your home run total at, but he had 4 home runs last year. Probably with minor league combined, so I'm guessing you have, or something. I have no idea. But, yeah,
no, that's 20 per 600 plate appearances.
Oh, it's per 600 for both. I'm an both. Idiot. I thought it was just for the 2026 season. That makes more sense. I'm a dum-dum. All right, so he was on pace for 20 home runs last year, which would make a lot more sense. He's on pace for 24 this year. Like, I think the 270-24 guy is a lot more realistic to what we're seeing. Maybe the average drops to like 255, but I think you're kind of getting the Sammy Basayo experience right now.
You are. Yeah, the hit tool that we've been told about seems to be carrying over pretty well. Just hope he's not hurt too bad and misses much time. And like we said with Adley, it's kind of funny seeing both Adley and Basayo on this list. Yes. And they're both getting enough playing time. It's like I clowned everyone for drafting one of the two. You could have drafted both and actually been happy, okay. As can be right now.
Yeah. Very happy.
So, you know, why do we listen? Why do we listen?
They're here for the banter, Ryan. They're here for the banter.
That's what we said, right?
Yes. It's good stuff to see him on this board and still on pace to do improvements, and he's still extremely young, which is great to see.
Yeah.
I got nothing to say on the next guy unless he's gonna regress like a mofo. Ildemargo Vargas, last year 270 average. He's got 331 this year. He had 15 home runs in a 600 sample size. 26 this year is the pace. He went deep again tonight, thank goodness, but he's also been in a massive slump for about the last 40 at-bats of late after that, 27-game hitting streak or whatever he had going on. Yep. But I still think he's very, very good. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. But the production you've had now, enjoy it. It is going to keep going. Like, rest of the season, 245, 15-ish is what you get, which is honestly in a 15, probably still just fine as a middle infield play. But, you've already seen the best.
Yes. And be ready to, so you've banked those stats. Congratulations. Again, you listened to Bubba. You didn't listen to me. I think that was week one fab, maybe week two. Right? I just kind of bagged Ildemargo Vargas. I am going to double down here. Just,
oh, you are. I can hear it in the tone of your voice.
Yeah. I mean, dude, another guy, more homers than barrel, like 4% barrel rate. That's Mason Wynn-ish. The 6 homers, and the biggest thing, it's a 34-year-old journeyman. Again, great story in April. If you got those stats in April, congratulations. We're starting to see the fall off. I still play Vargas, at your own risk. Just be ready to keep monitoring and move off quickly if this continues to struggle. And again, I guess homer tonight, so of course sticks it to me. But I don't see it, man. I do not see it.
I don't blame me on this one. I'll let that one slide. The last two here, Zeke Duran, he went deep again tonight, but it was great because he had the roof open in Texas. 92.4 miles per hour off the bat, the slowest home run ball hit in Texas's new stadium in Globe Life. Saw that tweet out earlier, but he's hitting for average, which we've seen in the past. Last year was a very bad, last couple of years have been very bad for Ezekiel Duran. The average, it's better than it should be at 284. Power, 11 on the season is actually kind of accurate for who he used to be, give or take. Like he's like an 8 to 12 home run guy. So if he plays the rest of the year, I could see these numbers kind of panning out, but I'm not like overly excited about it, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's the classic like track record versus like there is some actual skill improvement going on here. So how do you weigh that? I mean, Zeke Duran in 2023 wasn't that bad of a player. 14 no, homers, not. 8 steals. Like, so there's and hit 276. So I think I picked him up and I definitely picked him up. I forget which league, if it was a 12 or a 15. Just a useful piece to have around because I think the playing time is going to be there for now. He qualifies everywhere. And I think he's just barely good enough, makes enough contact, runs enough, has just enough power to where I don't think he'll be like a total zero for you. So I like the skill improvement, especially the walk rate. I know walk rate doesn't really matter too much for fantasy, but it helps his real life value, his playing time, and he runs a little bit. So it helps with the stolen bases too. So I don't know, kind of like a modest all around contributor who's just very useful to have. You know, especially if you're in like an NFBC type format or something without an IL spot, like you've probably got two or three injured guys on your bench right now. It's super useful to have an Ezekiel Duran to be able to kind of have one guy patch multiple holes.
Agreed. That's why I'm a fan. I just realized he's maybe playing slightly above his skis, but still pretty darn good. Last one we have here, O'Neal Cruz. Now this is the one where like I'm ready to eat crow on this one. He's like, I don't want that poor batting average. Yeah, I can go 30-30. That's great. I'm staying away. Well, 255 average so far this year, and he is just destroying me. He had 3 hits on Tuesday night. He went 3-for-4 on Tuesday night. And he is just continuing to just murder baseballs like no one else can. He can't play in the outfield. Defense is just horrible. But they're going to keep him in the lineup, and if he stays healthy, he's going to put up one of the better fantasy seasons we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the power or speed. So again, we don't have the stolen bases on here, but the 15 bags only thrown out twice. Like he runs a ton, and he should. He's good at it. Yeah, hits too many ground balls, but when you hit the ball as hard as O'Neal Cruz hits it, even a 30% fly ball rate, like you can make that work and approach 30 home runs. The question is going to be like, he's not going to hit 255. I don't think. Is it going to be a 210? Is it going to be a 240? That can really say a lot, especially on a team, a Pittsburgh team, where like he needs all the help he can get with running RBI with a low batting average. That's ultimately gonna tell us how successful the season is for O'Neal Cruz. But it's been awesome. The batting average is already starting to kind of fall a little bit, but he was hitting on April 14th. O'Neal Cruz was hitting 344,
which is nuts. O'Neal Cruz at any point in the season be hitting over 300. That's
255. So yeah, it's just all a question of how low can the batting average go. Is it 200, 210, 240, something like that?
He's playing limbo with the batting average, that is for sure. All right, to the deteriorator side of things, Ryan. I don't have a whole lot to say here unless you see red flags to be super concerned about. Cal Raleigh, it's been a massive dip. He's hitting 157 right now. He's on pace for 24 home runs. I don't think a lot of people, if he drafted him, he thought he could still hit 50, but I was not alone when I said, you know, catchers, regression, be careful. I still think he's very, very good, but it's been a very rough start to the year.
I mean, no one saw this coming at all. Yeah. took a shower in his full uniform last night, Cal Raleigh did.
Got a couple hits today.
Hey, anything you can do to kind of reverse the tide.
Sacrifice a chicken, go Pedro Serrano style on it, who knows?
Yeah, cover that big dumper in the shower. Whatever you need to do, do it. I do think that, I don't know. I think something, so Cal Raleigh missed a few games with like a side injury, and I wonder how much that is actually affecting Cal Raleigh. Like I almost wish the M's would have just IL'd him, given him the time off he probably needed anyway, just to kind of reset. Played through it, I think missed just a couple games, and honestly I've watched Cal quite a bit just because I watched the Mariners, and it does not look good. Like, it does not look good at all. I still think it's just a long cold spell, and it's of course very high profile because it's the beginning of the season, but it's also coming off the season Cal Raleigh just had. I think he'll be fine. But again, for as much as like we've banked the stats for like a Liam Hicks and Jordan Walker, we've banked these stats for Cal Raleigh in a bad way. And that sucks because Cal Raleigh can go, even if Cal Raleigh goes back to like, I don't know, what do we think he could do? Hit like 240, 250 with 30 home runs, something like that. Even if he returns to that pace the rest of the year, he's already banked 6 weeks of nothing. So like, that's not a good end of season line. Not much he can do about it, but just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, it's, you're already lost basically. If you took
right, like you, there's no, I shouldn't say there's no way. It would be almost impossible for Cal Raleigh to return his draft value at this point, or maybe even get that close to it.
Yeah, it's going to be very tricky to return a 1-2 turn or some second round value essentially for Cal Raleigh. Same with Shohei Ohtani. You're almost fighting a losing battle here. Now, if someone can do it, we've seen him go just nuclear at times, but he looks lost up there from what I like. He went deep. He had an opposite field home run tonight, which is the first home run in like 11 or 12 days. So the panic buttons closed down, but they're not letting him hit when he pitches now, which that's never really been like, they created a whole new rule so he could do that. And then even the Dodgers said they're going to give him the day after off this week on Thursday, let him kind of rest. Like, they're just, the way they're handling Shohei right now makes me wonder if something else is going on with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really worried at all about the hitter Shohei Ohtani. It is interesting. If you have Shohei Ohtani, do you start him as a pitcher? I think Ben Tidd in the Discord either today or yesterday.
Today, show the player rater.
Yeah, show the Razzball player rater of hitter Ohtani versus pitcher Ohtani. And I mean, I guess that Ohtani's been so good pitching, he's been more valuable as a pitcher this season. So. I think maybe that's your only actionable takeaway is to, I'm not going to sit here and say start Ohtani as a pitcher, but he's not a slam dunk auto start hitter every time. There may be weeks depending on your standings, depending on his matchups, whatever, because he now has that off day when he pitches, and sometimes two off days. I think this was just like a reset, his most recent one, but it's now in play to use him as a pitcher.
Yep, that is how they're doing it. So take that for what it's worth. Nick, or you have Ohtani in 250s and start him as a pitcher in 1 for 2 weeks. Yep, that makes sense. Aren't you glad you drafted him as a pitcher, Ohtani, in labor?
I drafted the pitcher only Ohtani. I'm very happy with that.
There you go. All right, Nick Kurtz, 290 average last year, 259 this year. I think we expected batting average regression with his swing and miss skills, but he's on pace for 17 home runs this year. I think that's not going to last, but he's been heating up over the last week. So I think we'll be just fine with Nick Kurtz.
I don't know. I don't know, man. You think he'll be just fine? You didn't like Kurtz.
I didn't like his price tag when I could get like Matt Olson and other guys, but like if you can buy low on Nick Kurtz right now, I would.
Yeah. I mean,
What are you not liking about Nick Kurtz?
It's the same plate approach that we saw last year.
He's walking way more than last year.
I don't care.
So that's a different plate approach,
I guess. He is stealing 5 bases, so that does help. That does
16% barrel. His hard hit rate's up almost 10% from last year.
But the dude has a .381 BABIP, which is super high, and he's only hitting .260 with that.
Yeah,
like that's not great. I'm not worried at all about the power. Not worried at all about
that's more what I was referring to. I said he's regressing batting average. I wasn't worried about that.
Yeah. But like you have a guy who hits .250 and what now is he's projected the rest of the way for like mid-20s home runs. So .250 batting average and 30 home runs. That's not great.
He's got 5 right now. That means he gets like 25 more along the way.
Yeah.
That plays.
It plays. Nothing you can do about it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, the season's lost for where you took him, but I'm saying like I'm still not worried about him. Like I think he's still gonna produce just fine the rest of the way for what you want from Nick Kurtz. He hasn't even gotten hot in Sacramento yet.
I mean, he could steal 20 bags too. I'm speaking out of both ends here, but he's already got 5.
If he finishes the season 30-20 while hitting .250?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's salvaged, especially with the Josh Naylor-esque stolen base out of nowhere total.
There you go. See, now we've got somewhere there. I am not talking about Leo Rivas. We're going to skip that one. Somehow,
he's come on, man. Mariners legend.
How does he have 100 played? Good God, man. Brendan Donovan's injury. That's why.
Yeah, and it's been a tough year in Seattle.
Yeah, it dawned on me again. I cover them every week. I remember now why he's playing. Okay. They didn't want to give Cole Emerson a chance, so they let Leo Rivas do it. I got nothing really on Acuna. I don't know when he's coming back to play, to be honest.
Yeah, doesn't look good. Early. No,
it looks bad.
No, then the hamstring injury looked horrible, and I think the Braves came out and said grade 1.
They said grade 1, and one. Literally on Sunday they expected him back like Wednesday or Thursday, and then as of today the team said there's no time for him to be back yet. He's like,
yeah, that's
that tune changed real quick.
Right. So you wonder about when he comes back. You know, the stolen bases, all that stuff we always worry about Ronald Acuna with.
Yep, agreed. Here's the conundrum for many people. Brett Beatty, last year at 254, he's only hitting 207 so far this year, and he's actually getting playing time to start the season. We saw the home runs of 25 on pace for last year. He's got a whole whopping – he's got one so far in real life. He's on pace for 5. Like, it's – there was a lot of high expectations for Beatty, and I look at his profile and I'm losing hope on what expectations there are left.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, he's got 6 barrels. He should have 3 home runs. It's like, well, yeah. Okay. So my man's still hitting 207 or whatever, 212 or whatever, with 3 home runs. Like that doesn't really do it for me either. So yeah, not hitting for much power, strikeout rates below average. The thing is, the Mets are so bad. Like, they just let him keep going and try and figure this out is something. But do you want that to happen on your fantasy team is the retort to that.
Yep, agreed. Jazz Chisholm's here at 242 last year and 201. He had 35 home run pace last year, 14 this year. He's got 11 steals so far this year, but he's like the BABIP's down, the contact's down. Like, I want to know if he's hurt. Like, he's playing just horrible baseball right now.
Horrible baseball outside of the steals. And I mean, power's just completely dried up. K rate's its highest it's been since 2023. So, I mean, this would be really bad if Chisholm didn't have 11 bags.
Yeah, it'd be really, really bad.
And the problem is, like, you're waiting for, you know, we talked about Eovaldi earlier in the show. You kind of bake in an IL stint at some point for Jazz Chisholm, and that hasn't happened yet either, so that seems inevitable as well at some point.
A trend with these players that we'll see. We saw it with Beatty, we saw it with Chisholm. Now Michael Bush, when we looked at these guys for power, like Bush's average is down to 238 from 261 last year, but he's only on pace for 10 home runs. This is a guy we talked about a lot in the offseason, you know, between the potential sitting versus righties or lefties, and that's kind of gone back and forth. But the big power spike last year was supported by the barrel rate, the hard hit rate, and all that good stuff. Well, this year it's all gone compared to what it's been in years past. And that's how it is with Jazz. That's how it is with Beatty. So there's a theme is what I'm trying to say. Michael Bush, I don't know. This is if I'm rostering Michael Bush right now, I'm not saying you drop Michael Bush, but I'd be looking at another first base option pretty quickly.
Yeah, this one's tough because you always just wonder. It's always that what's the outlier, right? So you had the 2024 season of Bush, which was fine, and then of course last year's explosion, and then now something bad again. I don't know. It's weird. He's not striking out really much at all. It's the K rate has improved for the second straight year, but without enough hard contact, it's a 238 batting average and 3 home runs. Like, I don't know. It's not great. I'm still waiting it out, but Michael Bush has been off to a bad start, both above and below the surface. Like, hard hit rate being down to 39 is not great.
It's horrible. And his ground ball rate's up almost 9% to 44%.
Yeah.
Which has dropped to 5% fly ball rate. Like, it's bad across the board. Could it change? Yes, but I don't know. It's a rough go. Trent Grisham, I want to say we kind of all saw some regression coming from Trent Grisham. I don't know how much we were going to see. He's kind of going back to what we were seeing before last year's breakout season, Ryan.
Yeah, and I don't know. It seemed to be a foregone conclusion almost. And again, this isn't like – I mean, Grisham was super cheap in drafts. Everyone was expecting this to happen. So it's not like, you know, it's not like victory lapping this. I mean, 174 is a little bit worse than I thought, but yeah, very, very much a what the hell one hit wonder type year 2025 for Grisham.
They got Trevor Story, 263 average last year, on pace for 23 home runs last year. Right now, 200 with 7 home runs. Dude's got a 3% barrel rate, Ryan. Like, he had his slow moments last year and still had a monster year. Stayed healthy for the first time in forever. It is very, very bad this season with Trevor Story. And like I said, he had the bad stretch last year and he turned it around, was great. So it's like, do you want to give up on him? I don't know, but I don't see a whole lot of positives coming out of his.
And how much do you think the situation in Boston is? Oh, I think this too. Like, it's bad.
I think he's trying to get himself cut, it sounds at times. Like, he just wants to get the heck out of there. Because, yeah, it's very, very tumultuous.
Right. So, like, I don't know. Things need to turn around for Story, but also within that organization too. And because, I mean, Story was very outspoken when the entire coaching staff was released. I just don't know, like, yeah, it's just not a good situation for Story and in Boston. It's just hard to see this turning it around quickly.
Definitely a scary story in Boston. All right, Bo Bichette. This is looking like 2024 Bo Bichette right now. Like, when you draft Bo Bichette, you hope for batting average, maybe a little pop. That's all you're really getting out of him. Last year, Bo Bichette at 311. This year, 222. He's only on pace for 7 home runs this year. It's and the skills support most of it, Ryan.
Yeah, just 6 barrels. Not striking out, but you're not hitting for power. You're not running. And Bo Bichette, I think we can probably 2 years ago sealed the book on the stolen bases.
Yeah.
There's nothing left here. Now, like, basically 100-point drop in BABIP is why he was hitting 311 last year and now hitting 222. The truth is somewhere in between. I still think Bo Bichette makes enough contact, has the batted ball trajectory, hits ground balls and line drives to where he can hit 280, I think, the rest of the year. That's where a lot of the projection systems have Bo Bichette. But you get 280 on a just terrible Mets team. So, like, the runs in RBI, you don't get as much of a boost there. He doesn't run. Power's not that great. Like, he needed 628 plate appearances last year to get to 18 home runs. So it's an empty batting average. And right now the batting average isn't good for Bo Bichette.
Not great, Bob, as they would say. Not great. And this one is Jacob Marcy. Right now, like last year, Jacob Marcy was a 292 average. He's hitting 182 this year. He's on pace for 13 home runs last year. He's on pace for 7 this year. You look at a guy with a 3% barrel rate, a massive, like, over 100-point drop in BABIP. So maybe there's something to be positive there. This is your guy, so I'm going to leave the rest of this for you. What do we think with Marcy? I've seen your comments in the Discord where you're ready to, you know, pull your whatever gray hairs you have out.
They will be gray in 16 days. Yep. Maybe quicker.
With Jacob Marcy involved.
With Jacob Marcy and my 4-year-old and 6-year-old. At least he's running. He still has, he's on pace for almost 50 steals. So you do have that.
Here's my question, though, is how much longer is he with the Marlins if he hits like this?
Honestly, though, he's got a 307 OBP. So he walks a ton. Like, and this was one of the reasons why I really liked Marcy heading into the season, is he's got that good plate approach, that good OBP. Like, I don't think playing time is that scary for Jacob Marcy. It's just the 5x5, the hitting 182 with an uptick in Ks this year. It's a 26% strikeout rate for Marcy. It was 20% last year. You know, you weren't expecting much power. You've got 3 barrels on 2 homers, whatever. But I would have liked to seen like a 250 batting average for Marcy. Because if he hits, like, dude, he's got 12 steals with a 182. Like, if he hits 250, he could have close to 20 bags right now. So it's just, I don't know. I still like the process behind it. I can very much admit, though, that this has not gone well for Jacob Marcy at all.
It's been a rough go, but so has this entire right side of the board. So that's what we're talking about here. I'm going to skip Jake Cronenworth unless you really want to talk about Jake Cronenworth. There's not much there.
I don't, actually. That's last thing I wanted to talk about Jake Cronenworth.
Go to Fernando. You don't want to bring it back? You want to bring Jake back? No?
I don't.
NPC joke. Fernando Tatis Jr., though.
Got it.
Oof. 268 average last year, hitting 243 this year. 22 home runs on pace for zero this year, because you got to hit one to find a pace, folks.
Got to have a pace. My man has no pace.
Yeah, he needs a couple Blue Chew golds and something else to get this thing going, because nothing's getting over the wall right now. And I've watched a few games of his, and I just don't see anything worth liking. Now, there's a 12% barrel and a 58% hard hit, which is crazy.
I mean,
But the thing is, though, like, that's gone down from like 3 weeks ago, because I remember looking at the end of like April numbers. He was over 70% hard hit, and he was just nuking the baseball. So I don't know. Maybe he's pressing.
He's got to be pressing at this point. I know he's.
Well, then they're moving to second base. They're playing like it's just a disaster.
He's got to be pressing, but I mean, I will always look at it's just unbelievable to have 13 barrels and not have a single home run. Like, that is,
I should have at least like six right now.
It's just bonkers. And like, yes, he's hitting more ground balls. It's a 26% fly ball rate, which is really low. Traditionally for Tatis, it's been like around 33-34%. So yes, not hitting as many balls in the air, but still. 13 barrels, no home runs is just unfathomable to me. Still has 10 steals. Like, I'm really honestly not worried about Tatis, but similar to what we said about Raleigh, is the damage has been done at this point, and it's tough.
And then we'll bring up Cedric Mullins real quick, just because this is another one of your guys, and maybe you need to vent. I don't know. But Ced hit 216 last year, 143 so far this year. Did steal a bag tonight. I'll give them that. 20 home run pace last year, a whopping 9 this year, but he has those 8 steals so far, so you gotta be pumped on that, Ryan. So I'll leave the rest to you. What do you got on Ced Mullins?
I mean, I'll harken back to our last show where I said, quote, I have a soft spot for Cedric Mullins, to which you reply, and I quote, maybe, you should remove that soft spot if you can.
yep
so, should probably do it. I think I'm rolling with him in the Vegas auction.
Probably are. That would be something you would do.
He is on my bench. I removed the soft spot, but didn't cut him
though. Yeah, I would say you moved the soft spot. You removed the soft spot.
I can bring it back on Friday if I want.
You masked the soft spot for now.
Jesus. Is he what's Mullins in 15 teamers? Like, should I not be holding him at all? What am I doing here? Main event.
This is therapy.
Main event, Mullins. 42% owned in 15s, 28%.
How many are 28% started?
28%.
That's 28% more than he should be. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Cedric Mullins anymore. we'll end the analysis on that.
All right, so yeah, as you guys would expect, the risers, we expect a little regression for the most part, but there's some believability there. The what does he call them? Detractors,
deteriorators,
There's got to be some positives coming out of some of these guys, but there are a few where it's like, yeah, just jump ship probably if you can. Like Brett Beatty, it pretty much feels like a lost cause at this time, but hope things can get for the better, because you're like, the crazy part, you have Raleigh, Ohtani, Kurtz, Acuna. Jazz was even a second rounder in some leagues, and Tatis. So six people on this board are probably top 30 picks.
That's the crazy part to me, is the draft capital invested in, like, yeah, if your Leo Rivas shares aren't panning out, I don't think you care.
You're good.
Ditto Brett Beatty, Grisham, like, whatever, Mullins. But it is wild to see that amount of draft capital of some of these early picks be on this board a month and a half into the season.
Yeah, there's that. And then just, it's not even a part of this board, just for people wondering how their seasons are going. So there's six of the top 30 picks hitters here. I think about the pitchers that have struggled, because pretty much Skeens and Sale are probably the only two that have really panned out in the top two rounds.
All the injuries, the closers. A handful
of reclosers that were taken in the first two rounds that maybe one of those is panning out right now. Like, it feels like at least 50%, if not like probably 70% of the first 30 picks have just gone to complete trash.
See, this is the therapeutic part of the show for me. This is making me feel good.
But that's why it's like, you look at all these teams and it's just across the board, and I have some good teams and I have some bad teams. It's just like, yeah, it's little, and it's like why I love doing the at the end of the season, we kind of redo the positions, look back, like look at the ADPs and see how things went. And we always joke like, okay, it came out of these two players, which one did you take? And usually that's the difference. Well, that is the difference right now, folks. Like, it's that crazy on certain things.
Yep. So, Skeens at Crochet, Cal Raleigh or Langoliers, et cetera, et cetera. And Acuna versus Corbin Carroll. I don't know.
Yeah, Carroll hasn't been great either, but yeah.
Yeah, it's true. But
no,
you get my point.
No, 1,000%. Like, at least Carroll's healthy and on the field. So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
It just goes like, I don't know. I don't know if it's therapy because, you know, when it's rough, but the early picks are not paying out for a lot of people is where I'm trying to go with this. That's why I auction. No, I'm just kidding. That's why we auction on these parts.
But, farm animals.
Yeah, Saturday, 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Live. That's early, man. Damn.
That's how we roll, dude. Got to check in about 7:30. There's breakfast burritos and coffee. Oh, yeah.
When did the beer start going around?
Oh, about 8:15, 8:30. 8:50. I don't start that early anymore. When I was young, I did. That was like 15 years ago. But now I actually have to be responsible for the entire day.
Yeah.
So I usually wait till after lunch.
I might have to clip that, actually.
Yep. But all right. Listener,
you sounded all mature, and then you're like, that's why I wait until lunch.
It's Saturday. Day drinking. It's the best thing to do when you're old. Go to sleep before it's too late. Get a full night's rest.
Hey, I 100% co-sign that.
Yes. All right. So listener questions from the YouTube, and we'll get to the Discord here. Joe G. 12-team, one catcher, Roto, lost Francisco Alvarez, add Jesus Rodriguez. Sure. If that's your best option, yes. And do you really know if you've lost Francisco Alvarez yet is the question I have for you.
Yeah, I'd probably wait it out to see what Francisco's up to.
He left the game, but they have not said anything about the IL at this point in time. Mr. Grouch says, who gets more home runs, Bangalores or Dumper? I got Bangalores.
I do, too. Dumper would have to make a – he's had a lot, got a lot of catching up to do.
He'd have to unleash a lot. I think that's the only one we got in here. So let's get to the old Discord questions here. We actually got some tonight after a slow week of action, which is good. But Martin Sikulski says, Ozzie was a monster in 21 and 23, which we talked about, hitting 30-plus home runs in each season. He's been so meh for 2-plus seasons, and suddenly he's 2023 Ozzie again. Is it legit? Probably not.
I'm saying no. I think he's over way over his head on the power skis. He's not running successfully and riding that sweet, sweet wave of BABIP. So no, I don't think we're in line for a 2021/23 season for Ozzie Albies.
I think we're kind of in between the bad and the good. If that's, that might be the lazy answer.
Yeah,
I think he's better than we saw last year. Like, he's healthy. We got to remember all the injuries he's had. Like, this is a help for now, a healthy Ozzie. But I don't know if we're ever going to get that 21-23 guy again. That was a different breed, different ball, different team, like a lot of things. So I think we're good there. Our buddy Canton Dog says, I do it on purpose now. It's so much fun.
I was not expecting, I don't have the thing up. So I was like, whoa. Canton Dog, by the way, is I think let's give our guy some.
Isn't he leading the listener
league? He is leading. He was leading Earth.
Oh, Earth.
Hold on. But also, so yes, Canton Dog is leading the Earth overall, and is in second overall in the Bub and the Bloom listener league. So hell of a start for Greg. Well done, man.
Very good stuff. And him and the boys, there's a crew of them that they went to a Braves game recently. Nice little Bubba the Bloom gathering in Atlanta. So that was cool.
Love to see it.
He says, think Cal Raleigh should have shaken Randy Arozarena in his hand during the WBC. Since that incident, Raleigh's hitting .151 with a 37% strikeout rate.
Yeah. I actually do think he should have shaken his hand. I don't think it matters one bit, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But I think he just got that question in just so you could say his name. He's admitted to doing that before.
Yes, I enjoy saying it. That's why when I saw it, I chuckled before I even said anything. John Wilder, Marcy was always kind of a fluke, right? Had a hot August, then fell back to earth in September. He's basically just a speed threat at this point, right?
I think so. I'm not ready to give up yet. I still think he can be like a 250 batting average guy, which again isn't anything special, but like that could be 250 with 60 steals. And again, I still think the playing time is safe. So we'll see. I'm being stubborn, but it's been rough.
He's trying to do his best Malik Smith at this point in time. So we'll see how that goes. Former Seattle Mariner great Malik Smith.
I can't really argue with you too much on that.
Ross Hawk says, off the top of your head, do you think there's a strong correlation with 2025 home run to barrel outliers here? Thinking of O'Neill Cruz, Jordan Walker on the 2025 underperformer side, and Kurtz and Raleigh on the overperformer side, because I think we talked about that on a previous offseason show. So Ross brings that back. Do you think there's a correlation where guys are never unlucky last year, getting lucky now on the flip side?
That's a really good question. I think, and I, you know, obviously I'm not going to run the correlation here, but I just think in general, like, unless it's a really bad park or unless you're like just a complete opposite field hitter, like generally your homer to barrel is going to even out. And if you have the skills to be able to hit barrels, it's just over time, enough of those will clear the fence and you will eventually end up with roughly like a 60% homer to barrel rate. That's just kind of what happens again, outside of the extremes with the park and spray and stuff like that. So without kind of diving deep into kind of this data set, I do think that is what happens and what goes on somewhat frequently.
Agreed. Last question from Mailman Mike. Who are you targeting on the fallers list for the rest of the year?
Let's pull it back up here. Targeting on the fallers list for the rest of the year. Honestly, Fernando Tatis. I don't think there's much wrong with Fernando Tatis. I don't know.
Nick Kurtz. Someone's down on him, go get it. I think he's still going to have
it. I think so too.
I think there's still a big season to come from him. Like, Shohei, Cal's Cal, but I think Nick, like, he's running. I think the power is still going to show up in a big way this summer. I'm still a big Nick Kurtz believer. I was just never going to pay that price because the regression that has taken place has hurt you. Now, like, next year, if we're talking Nick Kurtz and he's a fourth or fifth round pick, he's much more in the wheelhouse of a conversation for me. Yep. We talk about that all the time. Like, everyone's got a price. So, and it's weird because towards the end of auction season, his price was coming down where I was getting real close in certain rooms to raising my hand at times on Nick Kurtz. Kind of glad I didn't yet, but maybe I'll regret that. So he's a guy, if you're in a trades league, I'd look to get some Nick Kurtz action.
Okay.
All right. But that'll do it. That'll do it. Another Bloom Board episode in the books. A goofy one, a fun one. The banter was there, alive and well, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Any final thoughts, Ryan, before we're back on Thursday with a Week 9 Fab preview?
No, I think I'm going to try. I'm going to wind down at the end of the night here. I'm going to try and sip on a 6-month expired IPA and just see how it goes.
Those ones you mentioned. I was like, it took me a second. It's those ones you. Yes, if you guys are listening to the show,
we'll
can
see.
You leave a this comment on last. YouTube? Can you leave a comment on YouTube? Would you drink a case of 6-month-old expired IPAs?
There were a total of 72 beers acquired. I have 48 of them from a buddy who just had extra, but they expired last Christmas. I think I'm good, but we're gonna try it out tonight. And I don't know, maybe I should wait until there's another parent here.
I was about to say we wait 16 days, but by then it'll be 7 months old. So
just one. I just want to see how it tastes like and what strategy I need to have heading into the weekend here.
I think a live stream would Tuesday. Be great for that. But maybe drink one live on air Thursday night. No, we'll wrap it up there. But yeah, that was a big topic of conversation in the Discord the other day. So that's why I wanted to bring it to the YouTube masses here. But thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 346. Catch y'all next time.